We're going to hit the new week running fast. Five things I learned from Tennessee football spring practice. Plus, Tennessee football, a new commit and local talent, Trevor Duncan. And Tennessee picks up a series win on the diamond against Alabama. A lot of fireworks in that one. We're loaded up on a Monday here on Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome into this new week, this new edition of Locked On Vols. So glad to have you guys along for the ride and hanging out with me here today. I am your host, Eric Kane. You can find this podcast on Twitter at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And it's 5 days a week whenever you wake up on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. New to the show, welcome to it. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. I write for VolQuest.com. And I cover the University of Tennessee. Hey, what we do every single week on Tuesdays is Twitter Tuesdays. It's when you take over the show. Any questions, comments, concerns, Tennessee football, spring practice, Tennessee baseball, basketball, recruiting. Recruiting's heating up right now. Recruiting's about to have a big month. You let me know, and we'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. DM me any questions, comments, concerns, whatever you got, at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. I will record later tonight, and we will set it up for a Tuesday show. So we have got a lot to discuss here on a Monday, and let's get things started. Five things I learned from Tennessee football spring practice. A lot of these we have already discussed. A lot of these we've gone over ad nauseum, but let's reset them here for the new audience. Number one thing that I learned, and these are probably the five biggest things. I wouldn't say necessarily in order, but these are pretty much the five biggest things that I learned. And we'll continue to talk Tennessee football spring practice, biggest freshman that stood out to me, all that and more. But number one would be Jalen Hyatt. He's back. He's back on track. He's ready to play. Jalen Hyatt was one of the bright spots in Tennessee's 2020 COVID season a couple years ago. Had a couple of touchdowns, was a deep threat target, and you just knew that when Josh Heupel's system came in with the new coaching regime, you know, all we talked about last offseason was Jalen Hyatt's going to blossom. Jalen Hyatt's going to love this system. He's going to have great numbers. That never materialized. He spoke earlier this spring about how he got complacent, how he wasn't working like he should have been, and ultimately he got passed over in that three-man wide receiver starting rotation, which was Cedric Tillman, Javonte Payton, and Bayless Jones. And then, of course, Jalen Hyatt was your fourth guy there, first guy off the bench. But now there's opportunity, and he's been working really hard. He's put on 20 pounds. He's up to 184 pounds. Since January, and he has had a really, really good spring practice. He's had a really, really good offseason. So I think it's because of an attention to focus, a resetting of the focus, working hard, obviously, in the weight room, and you're seeing the fruits of that labor out there on the field this spring. So, you know, it's a good thing for Jalen Hyatt. I mean, it truly is, because Tennessee needs his talent. He's got an unbelievable talent. Would love to be able to put him on the outside, but he's probably going to be your slot receiver, and that's one of my biggest takeaways from spring practice, is that Jalen Hyatt is back on track. Number two, the Vols still need to add a wide receiver, and I believe that Tennessee will add a wide receiver. I truly, really do believe that. The veteran, quote-unquote, wide receivers, Jalen Hyatt, you've got Ramel Keaton, Jimmy Holiday. They had a good spring. I mean, they really, really did. And I think that those guys earned some snaps for the fall. You know, Jalen Hyatt out of that conversation. So really, I'm talking about Jimmy Holiday and Ramel Keaton. I think they earned some snaps for the fall. Ramel Keaton's seen some time a little bit. Jimmy Holiday's practically seen no time at wide receiver throughout his career. But with the Marquarius Whites, the Caleb Webbs, the Chaz Nimrods, the Cam Millers, all those early enrollee true freshmen coming in, you know, these veteran receivers, they didn't bat an eye. There's opportunity there, and they stepped up to the plate. But Tennessee still needs to add to that room. You truly do. Tennessee's got a whole lot of slot receivers, not a whole lot of outside receivers. So obviously Tennessee's on Brew McCoy watch. Will that happen? We'll see. I would say Tennessee's absolutely the favorite right now, but Tennessee will need to add a receiver. And if that's Brew McCoy, great. If it's not, they'll continue to go to the drawing board. And I believe that is still priority number one on the list. So good spring practice session for the wide receivers. You still need to add at least one, in my opinion. Number three, Christian Charles will play. So this has been one of the most asked question to me, at least, throughout the spring practice portion has been, you know, Christian Charles, is he going to start at corner? Is he going to start at safety? Where is he going to start? And my response is, I don't really know, and he might not even start, really. Like, if I'm pegging the starting lineup right now, I think I was asked on this Maybe it was last Twitter Tuesday. Maybe it was the VolQuest chat last week. I'm not sure. But I kind of pegged it as Kamal Haddon and Warren Burrell being your two starting corners. Your two safeties are still your veterans, Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers. And then your star, either Wesley Walker, who is a transfer from Georgia Tech, who is obviously not here yet for the spring, or maybe Danico Slaughter. And so I left out Christian Charles, but my response always is Christian Charles will play starter snaps. It's like a six man in basketball. You don't start the game, but you play starter minutes. And that's how I kind of view Christian Charles. He is obviously upping his resume in terms of playing cornerback this spring. He's a guy that can play all over. I think that he can play star. He can obviously play safety. And Willie Martinez, when he spoke to the media last week, he was saying, hey, we're going to play the best five guys. And when one guy goes down, if we have to move some guys over to get the best five guys out there, that's what we're going to do. We've got to play more guys. And so Christian Charles, in my opinion, is going to play, whether that's at safety, whether that's at cornerback, whether you get a look at the star position out in space. I don't know what that is, but I think Christian Charles will play, whether he's a starter or he's not. He's a guy that had a whole lot of buzz last year that we kept waiting and waiting and waiting to get in there, but he got hurt last year. And I believe if he was truly healthy, Christian Charles would have taken away some snaps from either Jalen McCullough or Trayvon Flowers at safety because Tennessee was so slow at safety last year. So if you're healthy, you know, that's an option for this year, and I think that's an option Tennessee will look at for sure at points and times throughout the season. Number four, offensive tackle is still unresolved. Heard a lot of good things about both J.J. Crawford and Gerald Mincy, the Florida transfer this spring. Those two guys were battling it out on the left side at left tackle while Darnell Wright flipped from left side to right side, went more back to home. And Dane Davis was over there with Darnell Wright at right tackle. And so essentially it was three guys, Davis, Mincy, and Crawford, battling out this spring for who's going to start that other tackle spot, whether it be left or right. I mean, Darnell Wright, you can move around, you know, deciphering whichever, you know, side you want. But Dane Davis got hurt midway through spring practice, and so he's kind of out of this equation for now. And you kept hearing good things about Gerald Mincy, who has been nursing an ankle injury, did not practice in the first scrimmage, did not participate in the first scrimmage a couple weeks ago, but it paid off because he didn't miss a practice since then, played in the other two scrimmages. J.J. Crawford was a junior college transfer. They got here like in late July last offseason and never really had a chance to be a contributor last year, but you kept hearing good things about him. So, excuse me, you had Josh Heupel. I asked Josh Heupel about that left tackle spot, and I said, kind of, you know, where are you right there? And he said, well, J.J. Crawford and Gerald Mincy have been splitting those reps pretty much every single day, and depending on who's up there first is who graded out the best the day before. So he said he likes what he's seen. He said that there's some progress there. He said that Dane Davis is playing the best football he's ever played prior to the injury. I don't know if that's coach talk or not, but I thought that was noteworthy. So, bottom line, it sounds like they're getting better, and it sounds like they have more confidence in them, but it's still unresolved. You don't know if you have enough, in my opinion, to where you have enough in those two guys to where you won't go out and pursue a big-time offensive tackle transfer. Now, that's the thing. Big-time offensive tackle transfer. Will there be another one hit the portal? Tyler Steen, the former Vanderbilt starting left tackle, he's gone to Alabama. He's off the board, right? And so, you know, unless one makes sense, do you bring one in there, or do you feel good enough to where you can figure it out and fall? That's probably where Tennessee is right now. I don't know that for a fact, but I feel like you feel good about where you are right now to think that, okay, whether it's Crawford or whether it's Mincy, you know, you're just going to pick one of those guys and roll. So that's one to pay attention to. Offensive tackle is still unresolved. And then finally, Joe Milton is your backup quarterback, okay? Taven Jackson had a good spring. True freshman, early enrollee. Taven Jackson came in. I thought he had a good spring. I thought he looked good, looked poised. He's got good feet. He's athletic. Thought he threw a good ball. The coaching staff raved about him and everything. You know, in scrimmages, I think he made freshman mistakes a time or two, but you saw his athleticism on display, that scrimmage that the media got to watch. But I think Joe Milton is poised to be your backup quarterback, right? I mean, Joe Milton still throws the best ball on the team. He's still the most athletic quarterback. He's still physically the most dominating presence on the practice field. It's just a matter of putting it all together, and he's not done that yet. But he's a veteran. He's started games in two Power 5 conferences. Yeah, he is going into his fifth college football season. He's been there. He's done that. In fact, I would go out on a limb and say he's one of your better backup quarterback options in the SEC. I truly do believe that. I know it's frustrating. The end of the Ole Miss play was literally – the end of the Ole Miss game was literally the worst football play I've ever seen in my life. I mean, truly, it was. But I think you should have confidence in Joe Milton being your backup quarterback, with Taven Jackson continuing to be a sponge, soak up knowledge from those two guys in front of him, Milton and Hooker, and continuing to get better. And maybe in the fall camp, things might change, but Joe Milton had a really, really good spring practice, and I think he is a great resource for Hendon Hooker moving forward. So those are the big five, the top five things I have learned from Tennessee football spring practice. We'll continue on with giving you some more information on some in list form from things that I've learned from Tennessee football spring practice as we get on throughout the week. Coming up next, a new commit for the class of 2023. I'll tell you all about Trevor Duncan when Locked On Vols returns. But let me tell you about Built Bar first, okay? The Puffs, brand new Puff flavors. They are fantastic. They are potentially the best tasting Built Bars that are out there. Covered in 100% chocolates, just like every single Built Bar is. They are infused with marshmallows, cinnamon, and all types of protein, okay? 17 grams of protein compared to 240 calories that you get in a normal candy bar. But, you know, a Built Bar's got only about 130 calories on average. Only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, but again, 17 grams of protein. It is the perfect snack that's an alternative to a candy bar. And with swimsuit season right around the corner, spring break season, really, we're past spring break season. We're heading to the beach here soon. I know I've got 2 beach trips planned for the month of May. Yeah, so I'm going to miss a little bit of time here coming up, and I'm going to be packing me some Built Bars in the bag. You can too as well. Go to Built.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. We welcome you back in here to a Monday edition of Locked On Vols. I am your host, Eric Kane. So glad to have you guys with me here today. It never goes unnoticed that you could literally be doing anything with your day, but you're choosing to listen to me blab on about Tennessee athletics for 30 minutes. So really, really do appreciate that. Don't forget Twitter Tuesday. That's coming up tomorrow. If you want to get any questions in for me, @_Kaner and @LockedOnVols. So Tennessee picked up commit number 7 in the class of 2023. And that happened on Friday around lunchtime. His name is Trevor Duncan, all right, for the class of 2023. He's a 4-star versatile lineman, and he was the 2nd in-state prospect to commit to Tennessee last week, joining 3-star defensive lineman Nathan Robinson. Duncan chose Tennessee over Virginia Tech and Kentucky. He joins a class of 5-star quarterback Nico Iamaleava, 4-star tight end Ethan Davis, 3-star defensive back Jack Luttrell, 3-star offensive lineman Aiden Bussell, and 3-star wide receiver Nate Spillman, along with 3-star defensive lineman Nathan Robinson, who was aforementioned. 6'6", 275 pounds. He is already Heupel's 4th in-state commit for this class. That doubles his entire haul for the class of 2022 in-state prospect. So I think that is a really, really good thing. Here is Corey Mobbs, who's Knoxville Catholic's head coach. Here's what he had to say on Trevor Duncan. And you can read my entire write-up, see videos, and tons more analysis at VolQuest.com. But here's Corey Mobbs right now. Quote, you look at him physically, and it kind of speaks for itself. The best part about Trevor is how low maintenance he is in every part of who he is. He practices his tail off. He's not special. He's not a special media darling, which is kind of unheard of in this day and age. That kind of sums up who he is. He goes to work every single day. He's always the last one to leave the weight room. I'm super excited to be able to coach him. You look at how mammoth he is, 275 pounds and wears it extremely well. There's not much body fat there. They will probably want to put on about 20 to 30 pounds, depending on what they want to do with him position-wise. And that's the big piece of who he is his versatility on offense and defense. He's the kind of kid that's going to be okay with whatever they think is best for him, and that speaks to who he is. He's got that pop to him. He's got that twitch that normal kids don't have. He's going to continue to improve every single day. End quote. That is Corey Mobbs, Knoxville Catholic head coach on Tennessee's new commit, Trevor Duncan. Trevor Duncan is a 4-star lineman. I have been referring to him as a versatile lineman, meaning he's coming to Tennessee, and we don't exactly know which side of the ball he's going to play on right now. He is a defensive lineman. That's his home, okay, by nature, but he's got offensive tackle written all over him, okay? I remember specifically, so with my work with Rivalry Thursday and for VolQuest, going and covering some of these prospects and talking to them afterwards, I saw probably about 5 Catholic games this past fall. And one of those games, and I'm on the sideline all the time, Rivalry Thursday, doing sideline reporting and all that. And, you know, I don't try to talk to coaches a lot because they're there doing the job and I don't want to get in their way, right? But one time I couldn't help myself. I was standing right next to Corey Mobbs and, you know, Duncan made a play on defense or something. I said, hey, you got you a real good one in Trevor Duncan, but he's playing offensive tackle at the next level. And Corey Mobbs looked at me and said, oh, yeah, he's going to make a whole lot of money playing offensive tackle one day. So that's coming from a guy, Corey Mobbs, who's coached five different players who went on to play five different positions at the SEC level, including former All-American and All-Pro now in the NFL, Derrick Brown. That's saying an awful lot. The Vol ties run strong in this one as well because now current defensive coordinator at Oak Ridge High School here locally, he was the former defensive coordinator at Knoxville Catholic up until this past season. That's Robert Ayers, you know, former first-round pick and had a nice little pro career as well. He coached Trevor Duncan. So it's very interesting to see exactly where he will play, but I think he'll be an offensive tackle. I truly, truly do. Here are a couple of my notes that I put on Trevor Duncan. Of course, you can check all these out at volquest.com. The first thing that jumps off the charts when evaluating the tape is his length. 6'6". This is me talking, so I'm quoting myself here in my writing. Duncan has great extension. He utilizes that extension to create separation between him and the blocker, allowing him to decipher the play, spot the ball, and then go make the play. At defensive end, his ability to squeeze the end man on the line of scrimmage on a down block is next level. What squeezing is, a lot of you guys might not understand that. You football lingo people probably get it. If you're a defensive end, you're the end on the line of scrimmage, the guy across from you, the offensive tackle or the tight end, in this case an offensive tackle, they are down blocking. They are stepping with their inside foot, taking the technique that's in that gap and pretty much washing them down or going up to the second level to get a linebacker. If you're a defensive end there, when you see a down block, you have to squeeze that down the line to keep that offensive lineman from going up to the second level and getting in the face of your linebacker. So once upon a time, Uncle Rico, allow me, please. Hashtag Uncle Rico. When you're sitting there in the middle playing linebacker, okay? And, you know, it's fast, especially in my case, going up of your offense. And that defensive end didn't get hands on that tackle, and he had a clean release to come down and just drill me in the middle. Boy, I was animated. I mean, that's a part. Again, it's called teamwork. It's team sport. You got to get your hands on that guy. And Trevor Duncan, when he gets his hands on there and squeezes that in-man of the line of scrimmage, boy, it is good. He's just raw, strong man football, right? And so that's a big thing that stood out to me. I mean, it's teach tape, and it takes him right to the football and or good pursuit to get to the football. I will continue on. He shows great bursts off the line of scrimmage, usually gets, you know, just beats his opponent on simple strength at this level. But he's got good technique. He's a good contained player. Once he's at the next level, he'll begin to add individual moves. They're going to add to his pass rushing game. I didn't see on his tape, at least. I didn't see much twists and turns and loops and playing games up front for Knoxville Catholic this past year, at least on the huddle film. Again, the lineman's versatile. He's more polished on defense, but boy, he can play some offense at the next level. He has played a lot of offensive line at Catholic, but I think that this upcoming season will be big for him to continue to refine his talents there. He's more raw, but he's got everything Glenn Ellerbe wants in an offensive tackle. That is length, athleticism, and really, really good feet, and a guy that can get up to the second level, and that's what Trevor Duncan can do. So, you know, meaning for Tennessee in the short term, could he come in and play right away in 2023? I doubt it. He's got to add about 25 to 30 pounds. But down the line, this could be an offensive tackle for you in this offense. Down the line, potentially, this could be a defensive end for you in this offense. We will have to see. You can never have enough offensive linemen and defensive linemen in the SEC. It is a line of scrimmage league. So for Trevor Duncan, winning this one over Kentucky, winning this one over Virginia Tech, keeping the local talent in state, and going to the University of Tennessee, that's a big win for Josh Heupel. And I think Trevor Duncan's going to be a guy that can help Tennessee down the line for sure. So Tennessee picked up its seventh commits and four-star lineman Trevor Duncan. That came down the pipe on Friday. And I believe Tennessee will be picking up a couple more commitments here to end the month of April. So I think this should be a pretty good month for the University of Tennessee. All right, that's all you need to know about Trevor Duncan. And every time Tennessee picks up a commit, you know we're going to break it down right here on Locked On Vols. Let me tell you about my friends over at Bet Online. So Major League Baseball season started. The NBA playoffs, they are underway. NHL is probably not far behind for all the action, for all the analysis, for sports news, for podcasts. It's much more than just, you know, wagering, guys. Go to betonline.net. It's your number one source for all your betting stats and information, and plus a whole lot more. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs, start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports to reality shows, and a whole lot more. Head on over to the website today, or you can check it out on your mobile device and learn all about the latest trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. That's BetOnline.net. Check it out today. Put some coin in your pocket. It's where the game starts. We got a final segment left here on a Monday Locked On Vols. I am your host, Eric Kane. Don't forget to get in those Twitter Tuesday questions. That's coming up on tomorrow's show, at underscore Kaner on Twitter and at Locked On Vols. And that is where you can interact with the show. All right, so your number one baseball team, the Tennessee Volunteers, at least at the time of this recording, is still number one. Very real chance Tennessee could drop a spot or two in the polls when all those 17 polls release their new rankings at some point today, right? Tennessee lost a midweek contest to Texas Tech earlier in the week. Tennessee dropped game one to Alabama on Friday, but rebounded for wins on Saturday and Sunday. So Tennessee went 2-2 on the week. But more importantly, you won another SEC series, right? So Tennessee has yet to drop an SEC series on the season. You've got a 5-game lead in the East for the Tennessee baseball team, and that's just huge. So this one this weekend was one for the books, okay? So Alabama's a good baseball team, and I think I spoke on that maybe heading into the weekend. I can't really remember how I programmed Friday's show, but nonetheless, Alabama, and I know Ben and I spoke on the Diamond Balls podcast and on our Around the Horn on Friday nights at VolQuest.com. Alabama's a good team. Alabama's a really, really good team. They've got good pitching. Starting pitching's been really, really good, and they've got guys in that order that can really, hit it. And so we knew that Alabama was going to be a challenge this weekend for sure. And Tennessee comes into the plate on Friday and falls 6-3, doubled up by the Crimson Tide. And Chase Burns, for the second consecutive week, kind of got hit around a little bit. Went only three innings, went three-plus innings, seven hits, five runs given up, only four were earned, four strikeouts, one walk, 74 pitches on the day. You've seen his ERA the last 2 weeks go from below one to 283, which 283 is still a really good ERA, but that just goes to show you how good the true freshman was pitching. You knew the other shoe was going to fall at some point in time, and it's falling right now. So for a number of reasons this weekend that we're going to get into here in a second, Chase Burns' continued struggles, that's very noteworthy, and I'll tell you why here coming up. Jarrell Ortega homered on Friday night, but ultimately it was Alabama. Six runs off 11 hits, one error, beats Tennessee. Three runs, nine hits, and one error as well. Tennessee was not very good with runners in scoring position, and again, Chase Burns did not have a good day at the ball yard. Let's move on to game two, which was Saturday. A number of things happened in the first 30 minutes of play. Number one, this set everything off, okay? One of Tennessee's aces, again, that you can make the case of any of those guys that start weekend games, has been Tennessee's ace this year, but Chase Dolander, your number two starter, your Saturday night starter. He was hit with a liner, comeback liner off the elbow, okay? And that is how the top of the first inning ended. Tennessee was able to ricochet, get the out at first, and he was down on the ground wincing in pain. Out comes Frank Anderson, which is Tennessee's pitching coach, storming out of the dugout and berating the third base umpire, and then looks like he was talking to the third base coach and then ultimately into Alabama's dugout. Reading in between the lines and seeing some of the reports out there and everything, it turns out Frank Anderson was under the impression that maybe some sign stealing was going on with Alabama. That's a baseball thing. It happens at every level. Some sign stealing was going on with Alabama's club, and ultimately that led to, obviously, the injury of Chase Dolander. So he went ballistic, and he was going out there sticking up for his guys. The third base umpire, Jeffrey Macias, is I believe how you say his name. If I'm mispronouncing it, I do apologize. Jeffrey Macias. He tosses Frank Anderson. You're like, okay, well, I mean, you can kind of understand that, right? I mean, a guy comes out of the dugout, and it's not the head coach, and he's, you know, you kind of get it, right? Well, here comes Tony Botello. He's going wild. You know how Tony is. And he's having a conversation, talking. Ultimately, third base umpire steps back and throws him out. And then Tony Botello goes ballistic, okay? I'm sure you guys watch the games. You've seen all the videos circulating on social media. You've seen the chatter on Twitter. Maybe you listen to John Wilkerson on the radio. I don't know. But ultimately, if you haven't heard what happened, here's the Cliff Notes version. So Tony coming out there, sticking up for his pitching coach and his mentor, Frank Anderson. Frank Anderson's tossed. Tony's talking. It looked civilized, all things considered. Jeffrey Macias throws him out of the ball game, and then Tony goes ballistic, goes up there, bumps him with his chest, and then, you know, he leaves the ballpark because obviously he's been ejected. Couple things here. Number one, Macias flopped like a little soccer player, and then he ran away. Number two, and this is most important, I don't care what the circumstances are, you can't bump an official, you can't bump an umpire, can't do it. Number three, there's a big-time history here. So, Jeffrey Macias, I believe, again, if I'm mispronouncing his name, I do apologize. He was on the crew in Omaha during the Texas-Tennessee game that tossed Ross Kivett. He was the home plate. He's the crew chief of this guy that was here this weekend, this crew that was here this weekend. He was behind the plate on Friday night, and according to some reports, he missed 58 pitches in terms of ball strikes. He just missed them. So had a really, really bad night behind the plate. And, of course, you know there was some chirping going on both sides to Jeffrey Macias there. And so there was a chip there. You knew this was coming. Number one, from what happened in Omaha last year with Ross Kivett on that crew chief and on that crew there. Number two, he was behind the plate last night, and he was just getting tired of it. And number three, he was the guy that ejected both Frank Anderson and both Tony Vitello. Like, you know, who are you, man? Like, I mean, come on. And then he made it all about himself this weekend. Later on in the game on Saturday, he told Tennessee after doing it for 33 regular season games, one game the night before, and ultimately, again, half the game on Saturday. Oh, the fur coat thing? You can't do it on the field. You'll have to do it in the dugout. What? Why now? Literally, why now? There's been home runs happening before. Jarrell Ortega had a home run the night before. Like, what's the issue here? Why are you making it about yourself? So whatever the case may be, it was Josh Elander who was the acting head coach for the remainder of Saturday's game and Sunday's game because Tony Vitello, ultimately, it's a four-game suspension. He missed Sunday's finale. He'll miss Tuesday's midweek game against Bellarmine, I believe, and then he'll miss Friday and Saturday's contest in Gainesville before Game 3. Frank Anderson, an assistant coach, anytime you get ejected from a ball game, this is just a base rule, anytime an assistant coach gets ejected from a ball game, they are suspended for the next game. So Josh Elander, the recruiting coordinator, and Ricky Martinez, volunteer assistant coach, they teamed up and led the ball club to wins on Saturday night and Sunday. And ultimately, Tennessee will get back Frank Anderson, and he and Elander will split the head coaching duties for the short term. But what a crap fest that was, right? And I'll get back to the baseball here quickly, but let me just say, I know a lot of officials. I have pretty good relationships with two guys from two Power 5 conferences who officiated for over 15 years. And we're still very, very involved in the world of officiating today. So I use those guys as resources. I really, really do. So I have the utmost respect for officials. They have a tough job. They really do. They get a bad rap. I have long been in the camp, though. I mean, but they're human. They make mistakes, right? There are so many good officials. They're like offensive linemen. You never know about them until you give up a sack or make a bad call, right? There are a few that try to make them about themselves and carry a chip on the shoulder and can't be objective. And that was what the case was with Jeffrey Macias this weekend. It was just pathetic. It was awful. I've long been in the camp for, you got coaches and players that talk after every single game, football, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever the case is. The white hat in football, the crew chief in baseball, whatever, they need to be made available for an 8 to 10 minute press conference after every single game. Every single game. It's called accountability. So that was a complete crap show. Jeffrey Macias was welcomed to Lindsey Nelson Stadium when he ran on the field to boos galore on Sunday. It was pathetic, man. He was awful. He was flat out awful, and it was embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. Having said all that, Tony Vitello, you love the passion. You love how he sticks up for the guys. Tennessee fans were adoring it. It's all great. It's not the end of the world. Can't bump an official. Can't bump an official. Can't do it. Simply can't. So it'll be a learning experience. It is what it is. I'm sure Tony Vitello's lemonade stand will be up outside of Lindsey Nelson Stadium for the midweek game coming up and before Tennessee heads down to Gainesville for the weekend series against Florida. But that was kind of the situation. I'm sure you were there. It was bad. And you go back and watch the video, that umpire flops like crazy when Vitella bumps him, but you can't bump him. Back to the game at hand. Saturday, it was a really, really good outing for Camden Sewell, who came on, and Dolander couldn't continue in that ball game. He pitches four innings and a third, gets up two runs on five hits. Mark McLaughlin pitched well. Kirby Connell came in, and then two innings from Redmond Walsh slammed the door. You had a couple home runs from Jordan Beck, and a really, really good outing from the lineup top to bottom. But Jordan Beck, it was his show on Saturday night, and that was kind of the lasting impression. You go on to Sunday, Tennessee on the brink of losing, just like Saturday, on the brink of losing his first SEC game of the season, responds well. 15-4, the final score on Sunday. Freshman Drew Beam continues his great work. 8-0 on the season, 6 2/3 of an inning, 3 runs off 4 hits, 10 strikeouts, and no walks. He was incredible. Jordan Beck homered again, had a monster series this weekend. But it was Jarrell Ortega, 4-for-5 on the day. Homered Friday, drove in 4 runs, had a big 3-run home run on Sunday as well. Tennessee is 33-3, 14-1 in the SEC. So adversity struck. Tennessee answered the bell. Tennessee had depth, and it showed that it can win a series. Now moving forward, showed it can win a series shorthanded, I guess. You got not a good outing from your number one starter on Friday night. Your number two starter, Chase Dolander, was knocked out of the game after just one inning, and Tennessee found ways to win. Now, moving forward, here's the thing. You're going to have to win 3 more games without Tony Vitello. That should be okay, right? Number two, Chase Dolander went in for MRI. There's a chance that you could be missing him for an extended period of time, which would not be good. He is the strikeout leader in the SEC, so that would not be good whatsoever. So there are a couple of things here at play. Vitello's going to be suspended. You could miss out with Dolander for quite some time, and that just makes the progression of Blake Tidwell all the more important as you move on throughout the season. So tons and tons to get into with Tennessee baseball. We'll continue to break it down here on Locked On Vols. If you check out the Diamond Vols podcast, we'll have one coming up later today and on Thursday. But that's going to do it here for a Monday show. A whole lot to get into. We hit it as fast as we could. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us here today. We'll do it again for Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. Get in those Twitter Tuesdays. Also, that's an underscore Caner and Locked On Vols. So anything you got for Twitter Tuesday, we'll hit it tomorrow. Dive in those DMs. Also, I hadn't looked at the Apple Podcast reviews in quite some time. If you go to Apple Podcasts and leave Locked On Vols a review, so many good ones. Thank you so much. I haven't been soliciting for those in quite some time. There are a couple of really bad ones on there. So let's go on there. If you feel so inclined, you like what we do here, go on there, leave us a positive review. Would really appreciate it. The rating, 5-star rating, all that, that's fantastic. There's just a couple people who don't like me, and that's okay. Also, there was one guy, and gosh, I should have pulled it up. There was one guy that literally said, I listen to your podcast to hear from other people, so enough with your opinions. Don't give your opinions on your podcast. Rolling on the floor laughing my effity... You know, blankety blank off, LOL. I mean, I did all three. I mean, like, I don't listen to your podcast for your opinions. Don't give your opinions on your own podcast. That was hilarious. So anyway, if you feel inclined, go on Apple Podcasts, send me a review, and let's put some of those better ones up there, and we'll move on with that. That'd be fantastic. Guys, thanks so much. We'll do it again here tomorrow on a Twitter Tuesday. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Monday, everybody.